going down. I'm yelling timber, you better move, you better dance. Let's make a night you won't remember. I'll be the one you won't forget.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to another debate week. Tonight's topic, pit bulls, cute or menace to society? On the pro side,
I think the argument is more specific than that, right?
No, yeah, we're just, I mean, it's pro or con. What's the
is
vibe?
Is it just are they good or are they bad?
Yeah.
I thought we had like an
are they good or evil?
Are they cool or do they suck?
I mean, arguing if they're good or evil. Like, not if they should be made illegal.
Do you want to marry one or do you want to kill one?
All right, so on the pit bulls are good, I want to marry a pit bull side is me. And on the I want to kill a pit bulls are bad, we have Ty.
Well, I formulated my whole response to like the actual question we said we were going to do. Can we start again like with that actual question?
Okay, Andy, what's the actual debate question?
Well, the actual debate topic that I framed is like pit bull breeding. Like, should we continue to like keep pit bulls around? And that is a more specific question.
But you decided to come into it with an argument that decidedly is not that, which I very much admire.
I think these are two pretty, like, I understand your argument, but it's not like they're completely, like, these are like 95, like, maybe not 95, like 85% the same.
Hey, you know what we share 85% of our DNA with? Fucking everything on Earth. What are you talking
about? Bro pulled up the probability, goddamn.
I'm always pulling up probabilities. I'm always losing.
Here, while we're going on the whole comparison kick that we were in the beginning of this episode, basically, Andy, what you're saying is if I held up a guy and a banana, you're like, that's the same thing pretty much.
One more time, Andy. What is the debate question?
Tonight's debate topic is pit bulls, their danger to society, and whether or not continued breeding of the species should be legal, or I guess breed more specifically.
Yeah.
On the pro side is Spencer, and anti side is Ty.
Yeah, I'm an ant now.
Look,
Ty, I feel like you would be a pretty good aunt.
I think I'd be a good aunt too.
Ty, I'll let you pick. Would you like to give the opening statement or not?
I'll defer.
All right.
Okay, Spencer, your turn.
I will give the opening statebook. Statement.
Statebook.
Oh, that was tough. I need to check myself into a fucking hospital. Jesus.
Once
okay.
There was this man who didn't know how to say the word statement, and he was gay also.
Ty, if you're going to defer to Spencer, you should defer to Spencer.
I'm sorry, I'll defer to Spencer.
Your ass better be deferring to me. Look. Here's the thing. Pit bulls are natural. They come from the earth. Furthermore, it's really more of a question of if the owner's bad or not. I think that's fair. I think plenty of pit bulls are nice people, really smart, really down to earth, intelligent, humble. I've hung out with quite a few pit bulls and most of them are pretty lovely. It's just a question of ownership. And for the record, I think most pit bulls denounce the really violent ones, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And look, finally, I just want to say that not only am I pro continuing to breed pit bulls, I think we should breed an even more violent type of pit bull. I think the Bully XL? I think we should just keep going. See how inbred we can make a dog. I want to make like a perfected killing machine that has a 1-year lifespan and can take out an entire nursery.
I see.
All right. Ty, your argument?
Well, it seems like me and my interlocutor have very similar opinions on the topic, but slightly different diagnoses of how to get there. Because I think that we should ban the breeding of pit bulls. In fact, I think we should kill every pit bull that we can find so that the pit bulls who remain are the wiliest, most dangerous shinobi pit bull that we can have on this green earth of ours. And I'll tell you this, I will not rest until every child on earth has been eaten by one of these monsters. And I think all that right. The only way to create the kind of pit bull capable of eradicating the human species is if we fight our damnedest to get them there.
All right. So, Ty, I'm going to do something that...
What, suck dick?
I don't know if I've done before on this show.
Nice.
Which is ask a question directly about something that was said in the opening statement that bothered me. It's real, like, pit bulls don't come from the earth. That is an insane way to phrase
it. No, they're natural. I know
he's doing talk to a Jamaican, yeah.
Yeah,
but like pit bulls are entirely a man-made thing.
No, they're natural.
John, man, pit bulls come from the ground.
Yeah, don't criminalize it. Pit bulls come from the ground.
John, like, you got killed by a pit bull. You are a batty baby.
Like, I think
I grew pit bulls when I was in high school.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Did they come from seeds or bulbs?
Bulbs.
No, they come from a tree, dumbass.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, they come from a tree. You can go to a tree and you can pick a pit bull off of it.
One of the most romantic dates I had with my girlfriend was last fall going to a pit bull orchard and picking them off the trees
patch.
Ourselves.
pit bull patch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I always love, you know, I know this is kind of a girl thing, but I still love going to the pit bull patch and selecting out the best one.
It's nice. Well, I will say... there's a lot of fun things to do there. It gets a little bit dangerous in the pit bull field maze.
Are the walls made entirely?
Because the pit bulls are coming sirens. After you. And, the moment they're ripe, they're coming after you in that damn maze.
Yeah, you can't pick them when they're too ripe. You have to pick them when they're like just starting to change colors, because otherwise they're a little difficult to handle and carve.
Yeah, my mom used to have a younger sister, and then they brought her to the pit bull orchard.
Yeah, I mean...
yeah, and so, it was harvesting time.
So you two, having remarkably similar opinions on this, changes the angle that I'm going to approach it, but I think it still works.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll rephrase it this way to you, Ty.
Yeah.
Should weaker pit bull species... be put down for the threat of what they could do to, like, the other stronger pit bulls?
No, Andrew. I think every pit bull should be put down. Because if a pit bull cannot survive our utmost attempts to eradicate it, I don't think that it has what it takes. Much in the same way. Think of it like the Matrix, almost.
I see. Okay.
I bet you were expecting a follow-up to that. Nope. Not for you. Just imagine. All right.
Well,
think about it like The Matrix. That was a dope movie, right?
I'll ask you the follow-up. How are pit bulls like The Matrix?
Yeah, Spencer, how are pit bulls like The Matrix?
You know what? I'll let Spencer answer this.
Damn, this is making me think. That's why Ty is such a good debater, because she makes you think. She changes perspective.
Yeah, I flipped that angle on that damn thing.
I've never thought about how pit bulls are like the Matrix.
I haven't been keeping count, but I think Ty has one more of these than Spencer.
What, pit bulls? No, I have five.
All right, so why have you not killed them yet? Or are they the super pit bulls?
Oh, no, we'll get there.
Okay.
Oh, boy, I'm excited.
All right.
We don't often get foreshadowed.
So pit bulls are like the Matrix in many ways. Many, like a shocking amount of ways, truly. Did you know that the Matrix is a metaphor for breeding a pit bull? Wachowski sisters said so that the entire time, even though it seems like that's something they would have added in hindsight, that the whole time when they were making the movie, that the Matrix was about breeding a pit bull. And the red pill is the shit you give to a pit bull to make it fuck another pit bull so you can have...
Children are a disease, Mr. Anderson.
uh, The scene where they're like, where there's like, we're like, we're going to need some guns. And then just like rows of guns show up. It's like, we're going to need a lot of pit bulls. And then
rows. Well, the Matrix would have been a lot better if Agent Smith was a pit bull. And he talked like Scooby-Doo.
Mr. Anderson.
Did you know that the first Matrix was designed to be a perfect human world, where none suffered and everyone would be happy? But it was impossible to go on an airplane, Mr. Anderson, because every time you tried, there was a baby crying and pooping in its diaper. Well, that wouldn't do, Mr. Anderson. There was no disease, no childhood mortality. And in that Matrix, the people revolted, because it was impossible to have a nice dinner at a restaurant.
I'm sure... a bunch of pit bulls watching Children of Men and sobbing.
I feel like every time I try to do an Agent Smith, it just devolves into Christian Slater.
I would like to say, Spencer, right when you started your Matrix monologue, I, like a dumbass, took a swig of water, and I had to try really hard not to just spit up all over my keyboard.
Did we do competing?
What?
What? Okay.
I'm just gonna.
We're losing it, folks. We're losing it. We're trying so hard, but like, it's clear that just like all of us have toxic fumes in our houses, and it's getting to every single one of us.
I got a toxic mother-in-law in my freaking house.
All right.
Woo!
I'll ask you.
Woo! Woo!
Well, I'll ask you this, Spencer. This feels like a very on-brand question for where you're staying. How often would you say the child is asking to be bitten by the pit bull?
Depends on what they're wearing.
Yeah, children are wearing bright colors a lot. Like, that's a signal to the pit bull that they...
If I saw a goth child, I'd be like, well, the pit bull has no reason to go after that one. So if that one gets killed, that's on the pit bull.
Yeah.
But if, like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, kids... with, like, an orange on it or, like, an apple...
God forbid they have polka dots on.
They're wearing overalls? That's just a chew toy for a pit bull.
They wear bright colors, and bright colors often mean that the animal is poisonous or a predator. And pit bulls need to, you know, they see that and they're like, all right, well, we got to hunt that down. You know, we were trained to deal with and hunt down threats to humans. And that thing right there looks like a poison dart frog. So let's go get it.
See, thing is, something children have in common is that they also often make loud, high-pitched noises that are similar in frequency to most chew toys.
And they move very suddenly. Like, I'm sorry, if you're going up to, like, if there's a bear around and you start, like, darting around and acting, like, you know, acting really irresponsibly, I'm not going to say it's your fault that you got attacked by the bear, but you could have been smarter, and same goes for most kids, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Like, why were you walking around on the playground? You know that's where they hang out. That would be great if, like, cops victim blamed kids who got mauled by animals in the same way that they did, like, victims of assault.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, objectively, that is a very tasty looking child. Objectively. Yeah.
Well, now... Mrs. Burroughs, what was he doing to provoke the pit bull?
The pit bull gets a month-long vacation after eating the child.
Yeah. I want your badge and fork on my desk this instant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was your child whetting the pit bull's appetite at all? Maybe with, mm-hmm. you know, some of the food he was carrying? You know, was he dressed like a slice of ham?
Mrs. Burroughs, don't fuck with me. We have at least two witnesses on the scene who said that they heard Timmy saying neener, neener, neener seconds before his death.
Yeah, your child was wearing bright green and was rolling down the hill. I'm sorry, but, you know, I might not be the most educated man, but that's a tennis ball to me.
Mrs. Burroughs, I don't want to fight you on this, but if you don't want your child to get eaten, next time, stop feeding him as much. He looked like a round little Twinkie for that pit bull.
Yeah.
Get out of my office.
Pit bulls will be pit bulls. What can you say?
Uh-huh. That's right. Well, I mean, a lot of it comes from, like... No, I'm not going to say that.
All right.
No, I think, you know what? I think it's safe that we pull back now because there's some places that this bit could go and almost went that I don't think we want to be associated with.
Coming from you, that means a lot.
Yeah. I'm trying to shine up my image. I'm trying to go back to grad school.
I guess I'll start with next, kind of an open-ended question for both of you. I think, Ty, you'll go first on this one.
Yeah.
What is your current position? And not all of this applies to Pitbull, but what is your current position on dog neutering laws in America?
Dog neutering laws?
Yes.
Honestly, I think I'm in support of them. Not because I think that pit bulls need to stop breeding, obviously I do, but because I think that when we neuter a pit bull, it increases its capacity for revenge tenfold.
That is true.
Yeah. I know if I were a pit bull and somebody, you know, came into me and started snipping my sexual organs, I would want to go back and tear his throat out, or her throat out, or their throat out. Anybody.
Or their children's
throat. Well, I would want to do that regardless, Andy. Come on.
In this scenario,
I'm a pit bull. We're trying to hew to reality.
No, I know, but I wanted to emphasize it.
Sorry, hang on. I got a great mental image. A really fat pit bull slowly chasing a really fat kid. They're both just like lumbering very, very slowly.
Yeah. You can hear both of them panting.
They both stop at the same time to catch their breath.
The pit bull finally gets the kid, and instead of being triumphant, you just hear on the tuba.
Spencer, what are your opinions on America's neutering laws?
Honestly, I think that neutering...
We should make it specific pit bull neutering laws, not laws in general.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because when it comes to humans, like, I think that the people who are really, really anti-neutering are kind of overblown. Like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, guys. Like, yeah, I'm sure it feels like a little nicer if you aren't neutered, but like, don't make such a big deal about it. It's not like you had something really taken away from you. Just chill.
I'm sorry, Spencer. Can I bust in for a second? Can I take over the conversation for just a second to say that neutered back shots sound like firing a starter pistol.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. No.
Yeah. I'm sure that there are more nerve endings when you aren't neutered, but like it's more about like what you do with what you got, man. Just focus on the bright side. Plus, a lot of people who aren't neutered, like, you know, it can be too tight, and that can lead to problems in adulthood. So I don't know. I'm kind of ambivalent about it. But for pit bulls, look, I think that you should probably spay or neuter any dogs just because dogs, when they're in heat, are really annoying and, you know, break shit and do all sorts of stupid things. So just because I'm pro pit bull doesn't mean that I don't think that spaying or neutering your pets isn't the right idea.
Hey, that's very responsible of you, and I respect that.
Yeah. Also, I think when dogs are running around and you can see their balls, it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I agree. But strangely titillating.
All right. So, yes, I'm pro spaying and neutering your pets.
Can I say a funny image that just came into my head?
Sure.
Imagine you're at home. You're 11 years old. And you're watching America's Funniest Home Video reruns on ABC Family. And you see Tom Bergeron in his gray little suit, you know, his slick back, salt and pepper hair. And he's looking at the camera and saying, now our next contestant, this one's great. It's called Pitbull Attack. And he goes to the video, and it's just a graphic video of a pitbull mauling a child. And the studio audience is like dying of laughter.
It wins the episode.
It goes to the finals. It comes in second in the finals.
An even more graphic video.
Nah, I think it'll probably lose to like a fat dad like sitting in the chair and falling over or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it made me laugh imagining that, like, and that's the only, because that's the only clip that's like that. All of the other videos are like normal, and then it's just like an audience who really enjoys pit bull murder.
Ty, I'm gonna throw you a question. Michael Vick, good or bad?
He was a great football player. Yeah. Well, oh, you mean broadly. on the dog murder front?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here is my thing. I have issues with his methods. Because I think that cruel. When you... No, that's not it. Because when I think when you pit two dogs against each other in blood sport, what you are ingraining in that dog's mind is not a hatred of humanity. I'm sure that's in there somewhere. I'm sure that, you know, through the brutal training methods, through the way that they treat those dogs, that's not great. But I believe that often that is sublimated into a hatred for other pit bulls that is counterproductive to the aims of entreating violence onto pit bulls so that they may come back and deliver it tenfold onto humanity. Think about it this way, and I think that my argument will make a lot more sense if you look at it from a certain perspective, which is that imagine me as the Leto 2 Atreides of pit bulls, in that I believe in pragmatic, perhaps cruel, but practical moves that will lead to the race of pit bulls, the species, the breed as an identity itself, to expand its reach and explode into a violent supernova of rage that then will allow them to thrive beyond the human race.
Yeah. What if, if Michael Vick, like, would he have been in as much trouble if just he himself fought the pit bulls?
If he himself fought the pit bull, I would put him as a national hero on par with George Washington and Abraham Lincoln.
They should make like a Dexter, like about like a good dog fighter who just goes around fighting pit bulls that mauls kids.
Yeah, and he's coming up with like crazy inventions in his lab to fight him even better.
Maybe Dexter, but Dexter is a pit bull, but the pit bull only mauls kids who like molest other kids.
That's a good idea. Dexter is a pit bull who only mauls evil children.
Yeah, or school shooters. Yeah. Think about it.
Or like if a kid stole, I think it gets to a point where like, Dexter really has a dark night of the soul when he like kills a kid who stole another kid's Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Yeah.
And he's like, what am I doing? I mean, Ernst, he's like, what am I ruining? I'm Rita Bromrace.
Phi Dexter. Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Like Fido Dexter. Phi Dexter. I don't know. I was trying.
You were so close.
I know.
You were so... If you had stuck the landing on that, scholars would have called that the perfect riff. 250 years from now, they would be having like academic classes. Like people would be taking riffs 501, and they'd be like, and in 2024, a young man. I think they all have transatlantic accents in the future. I think that comes back in the science.
I like to believe.
And they're like, in 2024, there was a young man by the name of. I mean, let's quote unquote Spencer Ryder, because I've gotten in trouble for saying, you know, real names on the podcast before. But there was a young man named Spencer Ryder who came up with the perfect riff. And scientists ever since have been trying to reconstruct that riff so that they can laugh really hard at it. And unfortunately, he stuck the landing, and so, or he failed to stick the landing, and now,
Wait. Ty, whose name did you say?
What?
Whose name did you say? You said you got in trouble saying that, like, whose name was it?
The true name of God.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely gone.
We had a bunch of listeners like come on the Patreon, on the Discord, and they said to me, very funny episode. We love the riff about Indian Homer Simpson, but it did cause my ears to melt, and now I can't hear or see anything. And that was on me. That was...
Yeah, funny riff, but like all the stars are going out now. I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, there
Homer
was...
Homer had to leave the... Indian Homer had to leave the show in season 27.
Yeah, it's a good joke, like Apu. But yeah, no. I'm trying to avoid that because the last time I did that, it did make the Earth spin backwards, and we're still trying to recover from that.
I can see that.
And it's tough because night is day and day is night now, which is you wouldn't think would be that big a difference, but it's actually pretty substantial in terms of the world economy.
It's weird that we still have to go to work during the night.
I agree.
Like, can't we, it's night and day and night are switched. Can we just like adjust it? No, we have to. We still have to go to work 9 to 5.
I thought it was very strange that it's the same time, but they changed the name to Sad Hour.
The Hour of Sorrow.
That seems like something they would do on a cartoon. Like, a lot of the choices made, I was like, whatever, it's not the choice I would have made. I respect it. I understand it from an economic perspective. Changing it to Sad Hour, I think it was just kind of like putting a hat on a hat.
All right. Well, Andy.
You know what? On a similar tip, calling it Night Dark Losings Time was also difficult.
Yeah, they really don't know how to name this shit anymore.
It feels less like they were trying to come up with like functional names that you can use in the real world, and more as if they were some kind of like opposites themed Batman villain who is going through and trying to wreak their dark havoc onto the city.
Well,
of
one
Gotham.
That confused me.
Yeah.
The one that confused me was have sunrise and sunset, and we can just switch those, but it got changed to sun going up and no sun.
Which seems kind of caveman-y.
Yeah, no. All right, Andy, what's your next question for us?
Having to change sun chips to moon chips felt like a bit odd to me.
Why?
And
is
moon pies
gone
became
gone
sun
now?
Pies, which they just all switched. Right. They just flopped. Sorry, Andy, what were
I
you
mean,
saying?
I'll ask you, Spencer, a more specific or a slightly different version of the question, which is that, do you think that banning dog fighting is fair to pit bulls when they're so good at it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one. Like, I think for like harm reduction, I think we should only let pit bulls dog fight. We shouldn't like be getting fucking basset hounds involved with dog fighting. That'd be terrible. There's no way those guys are fucking winning. So
you don't want to like a Labrador or something.
I think in my head when I was a kid and I heard the phrase dog fighting, I just assumed that like every breed of dog was involved.
Yeah, no.
They're just making a dachshund go up against a bully XL.
A chihuahua is the lightweight champion of the world.
Yeah, do they have weight classes in dogfighting?
I'd like to believe so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, look, honestly, I don't want to get too political, but like, I kind of agree with the ban on mixed breeds in dogfighting. Like, I think they do, like, I respect them, but like, I do think they have an unfair advantage.
Yeah, they have biological differences for sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's no disrespect to mixed breed dogs, like, obviously, but
yeah.
I think this is the one arena where they can't really compete.
Weightlifting also.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but
swimming
also
probably.
I would pay to watch pit bull
professional
swimming.
Professional squash, like, if I had
Olympic pit bull swimming would be fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Well, they usually don't do it unless you have an especially buoyant child.
God, could you imagine if like pit bulls like would follow you into the sea? Like you're running away from a pit bull and you run into the ocean and the pit bull starts bobbing after you.
It's like dog racing at the dog track where they have like the little rabbit on the stick going around so the dogs chase after it. It's a little toddler on the stick.
That's a good one.
I think it is, actually.
No, it is. I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
I just have clinical depression, so it's difficult for me to laugh.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a serious condition. Hey, if you're listening to our show and you're not laughing, you should go visit your doctor, because clinical depression is a serious issue that affects millions of Americans.
Remember, Ty, depression is a war, not a battle. And if you lose a battle, that doesn't mean you haven't won the war.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I've been losing a lot of battles. I'm like the Confederacy in like 1864 here.
Remember, Ty, you aren't defined by your depression.
Depression making Ty march into the sea.
If you need to take time to care for yourself, that's all right with me.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, is that this depression, like, if depression's a war and not a battle, I'm kind of in the bunker right now. And I guess the lack of serotonin, which in this instance is the Soviets, are closing in on me. I guess in this metaphor, the Red Army is just a clinical hormonal imbalance in my pleasure centers of my brain. And well, I've already...
In this metaphor, you are both Hitler and Ava Braun.
Well, I've already killed Ava Braun in this, which I guess is just like my prospects of getting a good job ever again.
All right. Well, yeah, but overall, I think that, look, dogfighting, it needs to be regulated, but I take the safe, legal, and rare approach to dogfighting, where mm-hmm. I think that dogfighting is always going to exist, and I think if we put it through the proper legal channels while also discouraging dogs from fighting, I think that's the best option for everyone.
Dogs that... We do dogfightings for dogs that have been defanged and declawed.
Look, I'm sorry, but also there are some instances where if the dog doesn't fight, their life will be in danger. So, like, just medically, yeah. We do need to have some dogfighting.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think I come at it more from the perspective of it should be unsafe, legal, and only for sparring.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
I think dogfighting should be illegal until dogs learn sportsmanship. We should train pit bulls to, like, respect their opponents and be able to tap out. That way it can be a safer sport.
Did Michael Vick ever try to weasel out of the conviction by being like, well, there's no rule in the rule book that says a dog can't fight?
And then the prosecution's like, here's the rule.
Yeah. They're like, no, actually, if you check under this statute right here, there's very defined rules about whether or not a dog can fight. Yeah. It would be cool if, like, Air Bud moved away from sports. Like, I know they did, like, Air Buddies where they're going on adventures and stuff, but I think it would have been great if, like, they were like, well, there's no rule that says a dog can't become supreme justice of the... of the American courts, you know?
Yeah, no. That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah. And I think...
Did you hear what happened to the dog who played Air Bud?
What?
Like, after they filmed... obviously, there were a couple. I mean, the original. Who I think was also in the movie Fluke, I want to say. Which is just, like, another dog movie. He actually got arrested. He got, like, 25 years in prison. Because apparently there is a rule against dogs committing sexual assault.
Well, I'm not going to justify it, but, like, puppy stars have it really hard.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, that dog was probably, like, abused, too.
Yeah, I agree for sure. There's, like, a really fat Jewish dog giving him a paw massage.
Michael Jackson's pet chimpanzee was molesting Air Bud.
You want to make it in show business, don't you, Spot?
This is but I taught Bubbles how to have sleepovers with other animals.
He called the recordings of it Good Times for Bonzo.
Nice, very good.
Thank you. All right.
Oh my gosh.
I have a feeling I know where this answer is going. Open to being wrong. But Spencer, who should be, like, in a legal sense, you know, when pit bulls bite people, should owners or breeders be held more legally accountable?
Oh, I mean...
By breeders, do we mean just heterosexuals or...
Andy, look, I am going to be honest with you there. I just zoned out for a second and you were like, who should be more legally liable for when pit bulls attack? Owners or pit bulls? And I was like, well, pit bulls can't go to jail, so there's a problem there.
Yeah.
Well, there's no rule that says pit bulls can't go to jail.
There are, like, at least 20 to 25 instances at minimum of humans putting an animal in a courtroom and trying.
God.
So it's not unprecedented.
Imagine how bad a pit bull gang would be.
Yeah. They wear the little bandanas dogs get after grooming.
I'm afraid to take this riff too far, but there's some scenes in American History X that would be very, very funny if you replaced certain characters with pit bulls in the prison.
I would argue there's a lot of movies that would be funnier if a pit bull was just randomly placed in there.
So,
for example, Antichrist.
I would say They Live, but specifically replace Keith David and Rowdy Rowdy Piper in that scene where they're just fighting in an alley for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's just Pitbulls fighting.
No, I was thinking that, like, that when you put the glasses on, all the people turn into Pitbulls.
Yeah, no, that would work too.
That was also where I thought Andy was going to go with that, because that seems like the obvious comedic conceit there.
But he did. He found a new angle.
No, he found a different angle on it. And you know what? You have to respect that. There are other movies that would be good if you put pit bulls in them.
I mean, we talked about it before, but Passion of the Christ, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Who would pit bulls be?
Oh, I was just thinking just Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Because imagine them trying to put that little stubby guy on a cross.
Dying on the cross so they can get away with killing children.
All the Israelites being pit bulls also would be very funny. And
that's
somehow
basically
less
what's
racist.
That movie right there. That's basically what the movie already is.
Yeah, no, it would be less racist, I think.
Now, I have a suggestion. I do need you guys to let me know if I'm going to have to cut this.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
A Serbian film.
No, I don't think. No. That's good. I was worried of a different angle. That's funny, yes.
Yeah. Wait, what did you think I was going to go for?
Oh, I'll tell you when the episode's over.
Oh, okay.
All right, but would you like to answer the question I set up?
What was the movie that Zac Efron
Owners.
Was in where his brother died? Like Charlie St. Cloud or whatever?
I don't know. I straight up don't know.
Are you sure?
Iron Claw?
No, the different one. No, this was before people liked him. This was back in like 2009 or something.
Let me see. High School Musical?
Yeah, it's called Charlie C. Yeah, High School Musical. It had a dark undercurrent where every movie he had a different brother who died.
Yeah.
And he was like, the prom's tomorrow, and Tommy got run over by a train. I guess I have to sing about it. No, it was called Charlie St. Cloud. It was like him kind of capitalizing on the High School Musical fame by doing some shitty, like, rom-com teen movie about a guy whose little brother died. And my joke was that it's that same movie, except the way his brother died was just getting killed by a pit bull.
No, that would have worked if we knew the movie, unfortunately.
I guess part of the movie is that he plays catch with the ghost of his brother.
That's an all-time dumbass movie scene.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, it's easily transferable to a pit bull. Very easily transferable.
That is true.
You throw a tennis ball at your ghost pit bull.
Imagine if, like, the ghost of a child killed by a pit bull came back and took over the pit bull's body. And used the pit bull to defend other children.
That would be great. That would work. You could have, like, a Kill Bill type scene.
You can make
scene
a comic
like
about
a sing-
that, yeah.
There's a single pit bull fighting, you know, 44 pit bulls.
And then, you'll never believe this. You know who the pit bull's leader is?
Who?
It's a baby who's being haunted by the spirit of a pit bull.
Oh, damn.
But it's, like, a huge, like, built baby. Like, a baby strong enough to kill a pit bull.
Imagine your baby is haunted by the ghost of a pit bull. It's like, yeah, this is our gigantic, fucked up kid who keeps trying to eat other kids.
Martha, have you noticed that it's a little odd that Nathan says nothing but... He's 4 years old. They're supposed to have developed some language skills by then. Do you think he might be autistic? He's haunted by the ghost of a pit bull.
A pit bull dressing up like a stereotypical 50s child to be able to sneak into a school.
Like with a pompadour?
Oh, this is not really the movie. Yeah. Just like waltzing in on like 2 feet doing the awkward dog walk.
A pit bull dressed as a mall Santa.
That's good too.
Pitbull dresses a Pikachu. There's a bunch of things that Pitbull could dress as to get a child over there.
It would be very easy to fool a kid.
They're very stupid.
A Pitbull and a pedophile exchanging notes.
What was that show on Disney that was about like a dog who went to school because he was a genius and he had to dress up like a kid to do it? Was that show just what we were? I don't know. I never watched it enough to know if he actually killed any other kids, but that might have just been a show about what we're talking about. I think it was called like Teacher's Pet.
Yeah, let me look this up.
Oh, I think I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
So I've been like over the past couple of years consistently impressed by your ability to mention movies and TV shows that I have never fucking heard of in my entire life.
I read a lot of Disney Adventure magazine as a kid.
Yep, Teacher's Pet is an animated sitcom. All right, that's cheating. Get a real dog in there.
Nathan Lane was the dog.
Wait, Wallace Shawn is the principal in this?
Yeah, this is a fucking great cast. Deborah Jo Rupp. Goddamn.
Oh, right. I've seen this character design before. I had never known the premise of that. Okay.
Cree Summer, she's a fucking pinch hitter. We love her. Mae Whitman, Rob Paulsen. This is a fucking solid. This is a solid crew. Damn.
Yeah, okay. I've also seen this design before, but I thought it was just a kid. A kid dressed
up. No, it's a dog. You can tell because he has like a snout.
Okay, if you put this dog in like Ed, Edd n Eddy or whatever, you would not tell that this is a dog.
What did you think the red dot was? Did you think he was just bad at being Hindu? No, that's a nose.
It's I don't know. Could be a medical problem.
Yeah, bad I have one terrible pimple.
That I am not taking care of.
Oh, no. Thank you. This isn't my nose. This is the worst boil of all time.
Yeah, okay. No, it's not my nose. It's MRSA, okay?
Damn.
Yeah, but returning to the original question.
I never once watched this show. I have no idea why I remember what this is.
Returning to the question, I think owners are more responsible because if you're a pit bull breeder, it is your God-given duty to create a perfect killing machine. And as an owner, it's your responsibility to make sure the machine never kills. And
why do you think that we have the ability to craft a killing machine that God could not?
The
eugenic approach to the solution is not only the most moral, but the most efficient is frankly a little bit sickening to me.
Yeah, God, Andy, like, who do you blame more? Who do you blame more for dropping the bombs on Japan? Do you blame Oppenheimer more, or do you blame the Americans for dropping them?
Okay, but think about it this way.
Honest answer here is you blame Harry Truman, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, no, and the owner is Harry Truman.
Think about it this way.
Oh, I thought when you said the Americans, I thought you meant, like, literally the pilots in the plane.
Oh, I thought you meant the show The Americans, about those Soviet secret agents who came over to live in America.
They should make an Oppenheimer-type movie about breeding a bully XL.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should ever be able to breed something that you call an XL. That seems a bit much.
Yeah. But I want to jump off of Spencer's hypothetical there. You can blame the Americans for dropping the bomb, obviously. But think about how many more Japanese people have been killed by tsunamis. I'm saying God is better at this than we are. And I think that we should play our part, obviously. But the idea that we can micromanage the evolution of a people into a perfect killing machine...
I don't know.
Were there that many tsunamis in Japan? I thought there was just like the one recently.
Japan's like top two causes of death are like suicide and tsunamis.
The really bad tsunami was like in Nepal.
Year, 2/3 of the Japanese population gets killed by tsunamis.
Okay. You brought up the numbers.
Sometimes they'll get lucky and it'll destroy the Mongols. But yeah.
All right. Well,
let me look up Japanese tsunami death all times.
What I would say, Ty, is I think you're looking a little too deeply into what Spencer implied there. God gives us the tools that we need to enact His vision, and breeding a bully XL can be viewed under that lens.
You know what? I have egg on my face right now. Hiroshima did kill more people than tsunamis, so I guess actually I withdraw from the argument.
Yeah, there's really only one big tsunami in Japan.
Yeah. But here's the thing that's crazy is Nagasaki and Hiroshima killed more people than every tsunami since 684.
Jesus.
This country should be sunk into hell immediately. What the fuck are we doing?
Wait, every tsunami. Okay, because there was one tsunami that was putting up like Hiroshima numbers, like the Indian Ocean.
Yeah,
one.
In 2012.
No, the Indian, oh, Ocean, the Indian one. Ocean one. The Indian what, Ocean what one.
What I'm telling you is this. I don't know how real these sources are, but I'm switching between two tabs right now. It's saying that since 684, 130,000 people have been killed by tsunamis.
That's not,
Hiroshima. Okay, that might be wrong.
Yeah, that's completely world wrong. Data, the Indian Ocean world tsunami data. Killed. Killed
well,
like
do they mean
is that just Japanese though? Yeah, I don't know if that's just Japanese.
Okay, if that's just Japan, yeah. Then yeah.
And then Hiroshima and Nagasaki killed about 215,000, which is
what
crazy.
If, like, what if it was a cruel prank? We dropped the bomb like in the middle of the ocean and created a tsunami to hit Japan.
Yeah. And then they would have to come up with their famous monster, Wet Godzilla.
Yeah.
Damn, but this is a fucking evil nation we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get cracking on creating even bigger tsunamis.
We did that in like one day. And then we're just allowed to like have McDonald's still.
We got No, McDonald's was our reward as a country for nuking Japan. It came after.
God damn. We turned like 200,000 people into goop. And then we're allowed to just like have a movie where a guy with a goatee is like, you're not going to get away with this, spaceman. What the fuck is wrong with this world?
Turn 200,000 people into goop and then coin the phrase, would y'all like fries with that?
Yeah. We put a crater into the earth that like has not been rivaled by anything but the meteor that killed the dinosaurs. And then like for the next 70 to 80 years, we were allowed to putter around just having a guy being like, oh, I bet that I didn't think that was going to happen. Like our reward for unleashing a fiery holocaust on more people than live in some states was like a bunch of TV shows where a guy goes, he's right behind me, isn't he? That's like perverse. That's the first thing that's ever made me believe in the devil. I think I had a genuine religious conversion right now. Just think about the sheer scale, not of like, obviously, of all time, we're putting up numbers, of just one day where we basically turned... We turned an entire city into fallout. And then we just, for the rest of the time, just sat on our asses and were like, well, she fell down. Just like pointing at the TV, being like, oh, she wasn't supposed to do that. She fell on her ass.
Do you think Andy Griffith ever said, he's right behind me, isn't he?
I don't think so. No.
I'm now, you got me curious, and I'm trying to find out what day the most people died
of all
any
time.
Year.
Yeah.
And I honestly, it looks like. China has both has the U.S. beat.
Yeah, they're because putting up of numbers.
What day is it? For the record?
Although that's just China, though.
Yeah, it's the. It seems like it might be the Shaanxi earthquake in the 1500s.
No. I'm looking at the same thing. But my thing is that doesn't account for like what if there was a day where like obviously not a million people, but like. Five volcanoes went off and they each took out like 220,000.
That's the rest of humanity's problem for not being as good as documentation as the Chinese.
Yeah, that's my point, is that I don't think we can ever truly know this until like we go through the history of all volcanoes.
Volcanoes fell off.
Volcanoes did fall off, although they might be coming out of their flop era.
Give Yellowstone some time.
Volcano, yeah. If you've heard any of the rumblings lately, volcanoes actually may be back with the yacht and the Riz.
Sucks if you live on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's giving thermal extermination. Damn. I made myself sad this episode.
Yeah, you did. Sorry. Andy, what's the last question that you got?
Andy, who won?
Oh, yeah, I guess we are far enough in the episode to do that.
Andy, which one of us is better?
Who won this episode? Well, not us, collectively. I think collectively we all lost a little bit.
I thought this was a good
episode.
One.
No, I had fun, but I mean, like, we're sad.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give this one to Spencer.
Boo!
Oh, you won, Clemmy.
Wait, what?
Oh, I said, oh, you've won plenty.
Yeah, but not this one. It's the only one I actually cared about.
I feel like Spencer was a little more on the ball today. You know, you were good, but this was a solid performance.
Remember my really good Matrix impression?
That was really good.
Yeah. She did win the Matrix off.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm actually happy with that.
All right, folks.
So Spencer won the stupid argument, and I won being best at sounding like the Matrix guy.
All right, folks. Well, this was a gas leak episode. Subscribe to our Patreon, where we are going to review a movie.
Did you learn that from online? Where did you get that term?
You can still vote on the movie that probably vote on this. It does look like Gotti is going to win.
Gotti.
Oh. This is going to be my second viewing of Gotti.
Mine too.
I've never
just
seen
going
it.
All right. That's going to be an interesting one.
What if he
one.
Was Gen Z and his name was Gotti?
Bye.
Yeah, man. So we back in the club with our bodies rocking from side to side, side, side to side. Thank God the week is done. I feel like a zombie gone back to life, back, back to life. Control of my body. Ain't I seen you before? I think I remember those eyes, 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 eyes. 'Cause baby, tonight.
You start.
All right. To be fair, you did give me like you immediately were like, just go. You have something ready, right?
I think the implication is that every time we do one of these, you are assumed to be the one who's starting.
No, I
that's
knew
much
that.
Like,
it's more...
That's much like you going into your job and being like, oh, so you just expected me to know how to do this?
I was going to start. You just
you
like...
only told me to come in at 9 on the first day. After that, I thought it was kind of whenever.
That's like if you got pulled over by a cop and it's like, oh, so the stop sign means that every time?
Yeah, I stopped once.
No, I was going to go, but I didn't like...
Yeah, the last time you told me to yield for pedestrians, I did it. It's not my fault.
Like, you were like, have something ready 5 seconds after clap. And it's like, okay, hold on. Give me, okay. All right.